But what we can do, we want to see some fruit from our ministry. We have two banquets a year. I know this will be a little hard for some of you, but if you're interested to see what God has been doing behind the wall in the jail, we have two banquets every year. The first one will be actually next Friday night, October 23rd, at the Fireside Grill in Middleborough, right off 495. We're going to have nice roast turkey dinner, some songs, great fellowship. And a couple of testimonies. Actually, there'll be three testimonies. There'll be one guy who's been out 10, 12 years ago living in California. He just happened to be in town, and he's going to share some of his story of how he came to faith in the jail, open the word, and put his faith and trust in Jesus, and has been delivered from the bottle now for, 12 years or so. And then a couple other powerful testimonies. So if you'd like to do that, please let me know. I just need to give a count to the restaurant so we can exclude that one again. Again, that one is the first one will be Friday, next Friday, October 23rd in Middleborough. The next one will be November 13th in Plymouth. Same exact thing, only different place, Radisson Hotel, Plymouth, right near the water. Again, I know that's a hobby, but if you are, would like to see what God has been doing, you're welcome to come. I just need to know before you come so I can get a count and order the dinners. So let me know if you'd be interested in that. Getting into the word now, there is a commercial came out, a couple years ago. I don't even know if it's on anymore, but you may have seen it. It shows a man walking into the kitchen. As the elder gent is walking into the kitchen, the narrator says, "You're about to see something amazing." Anybody seen that? And so you watch this elderly gent walk in. He goes over to the kitchen table. He pours some cream in his coffee, sits down, takes a sip, and looks out the window. The narrator then says, "Did you see it?" And if you're like me, you say, "No, I didn't really see that, anything amazing. Man, you might want to run that by me a little slower this time. I didn't see nothing." And then he goes on to say, "Well, you would have if you had known that John Doe here was diagnosed with terminal cancer 9 years ago, and because he went to the Joe Blow Clinic, he's still alive, breathing the air, and that is the amazing thing." Now, we're going to look at a passage today in John chapter 11, about the raising of the dead, Lazarus raising of the dead. Now, there's something amazing here that I saw recently, and I want to share with you. And you've probably read this a lot like I have, but one, it just hit me really hard not too long ago. We'll pick it up in John 11, 1 through 4, and then we'll jump down to verse 38. So I'll be reading from a New American Standard Version. It might be a little different than yours. But again, in John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, look, he whom you love is sick.' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.'" Now what happens is Jesus doesn't really move he waits a couple days, and they get word that Lazarus has died, and he says, okay, now we'll go, and we're going to go back there. And we'll pick it up in verse 38. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And the stone, Jesus said to the people, remove the stone. And Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Now again, you've probably read this story several times. I know I have. Been a Christian 30 years, and not the first time I saw this. But something hit me not too long ago. There was something amazing that happens in this story. And I'd like to draw it to your attention. Notice again in verse 38, when Jesus comes to the tomb, again, it says it was a cave, there was a stone lying against it. Notice what Jesus said. Remove the stone. Now, he asked people to do something there. He didn't have to. I mean, if Jesus wanted the stone to move, he could make the stone move. If he wanted Lazarus to walk through the stone, he could do that too. He don't need me again. He was doing fine before I came. He's going to do perfectly well after I leave. But he invites his people whenever he does something miraculous. I'm going to show you this. It is all over the sacred pages of Scripture. And if you listen and obey, you will see the glory of God. Let me cut to the chase and give you a one-liner that you might want to write down. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Again, this is all over the Bible. Notice Martha's response now. When he says, remove the stone, Martha, the sister of the deceased, much like me and you, makes an excuse and says, Lord, you don't want to do that. By this time, there will be a stench. He's been dead 4 days. I want you to notice this. Not only the first time, then we're going to keep passages here. But people, when God asks people to do something, almost always they make an excuse. That is why they do not see the glory of God. Again, remember now, an act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Try to remember this. Log this in your brain. Etch it in your mind. Because when you obey, you will see the glory of God. Now, again, she says, Lord, you don't want to do that. There will be a stench. Dead 4 days. Notice again Jesus' response. And if you have your Bible, you might want to underline. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You know, many of us say we believe. But our actions will really declare the truth, whether we believe or not. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Actions speak louder than words. And again, people make excuses. Now, it's not just here, but I'm going to show you several passages. I could spend the next 2 weeks and still not be done. But I'll show you what happens when people obey and what doesn't happen when people don't. This is what you truly believe in. Your actions will show whether you believe or not. Now, hold your place in Luke, John, because we'll come back here. But go over to Luke chapter 5. Again, people will make excuses. God will ask them to do things. People will make excuses. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Again, God is going to ask these people to do something. This, again, this is going to be all over the Bible. I'm not going to keep you here for 2 weeks, but I'm just going to pull out 7. Write them down. But you watch as you're reading your Bible. No Bible.
No bread.
No bread. We only got one table. No breakfast. You've got to begin the day with God. And I'm going to tell you, what you do, you will see how mighty and powerful He is. I want you to know, not just know about Him. I want you to know. Now, in Luke 5, watch what happened. It happened that while the crowd was pressing around Him, listening to the Word of God, that He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And He saw 2 boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked to be pushed out a little way from the land. And He sat down and began to teach the people from the boat. Now, when He finished speaking, there are a lot of people there. He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." People are hungry. Go out, drop your nets. Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked out on it. The fish is just not biting. They don't come." Again, making an excuse. Jesus, I think, just looked at him and he said, "But okay, because you asked me, I'll go out." Maybe with an attitude, but I know I'm not going to get it. So he goes out and he drops the nets, and when he did, every fish in the Sea of Galilee jumped into the nets. So much so that the nets begin to break. And he signaled for their fathers, James and John, to come. They filled both the boats, so much so that the boats get ready to sink. And they fed the people. Again, an act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. It is not just there, but it's in the Old Testament. You don't have to turn there. But in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman is a man who has leprosy. He's the captain of an army that defeated Israel, as a matter of fact. And in so doing, he took a servant, Israelite girl, to be one of his servants. She worked for him and liked him, and she knew that Naaman, the captain of this army, had this leprosy. She said, "Oh, I wish that he knew about the prophet of Israel, because there's one there who could heal him." And so, when the word gets to Naaman, he goes to his king and says, "Hey, there's a prophet in Israel. I want to go over there and heal. He can heal me." So the king says, "All right, let's give some gifts. Give some money, some gold over here. And some clothes. Go over there and see this guy." So he sent a letter to the king of Israel saying, "Hey, I want you to heal my captain, Naaman." Now the king gets the letter and says, look at this guy. He's trying to start a war. He thinks I can heal this guy. I can't heal people." And he rips his clothes and gets all upset. And then the prophet leaves, Elisha. He says, "Listen, don't let this upset you. Tell him to come and see me. And then he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman finally gets over to see him. And Elisha doesn't go out to see him. He sends a servant. He says, "Tell him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And he'll be healed." Now, when the servant goes up and tells Naaman this, Naaman gets all bent out of shape. He is steaming mad. He said, "Surely, I thought that he would come out, wave his hand over my leprosy and heal me, call on his God and heal me like that." He said, "I want the rivers of Abana and Papa better than the rivers of Damascus, better than the Jordan River." And so he goes away in a rage. And thank God, his voice calmed him down. Take it easy. If the guy told you to climb a mountain, you would have climbed a mountain, right? All of his And so he comes down, he goes and dips, and he comes out of the water, his flesh clean and healed like a baby. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Now again, the natural tendency is to make excuses. Lord, you don't want to move the stone. The fish aren't biting. I don't know if the river's better over here. This is human tendency. Try to understand this, all right? We've all been infected with something called
doubt.
This is what stops us from obeying and from believing and from seeing the glory of God. How many here would like to see the glory of God? I know you. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Now, let me show you what the problem is. Go over to Matthew 18 for a moment. And let me tell you what Jesus says. He kind of summarizes it in a little sentence here. This is pretty much the issue of why people don't obey or believe. Matthew 18. And we'll pick it up verse 1. Just a few verses. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set the child before them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We must become converted. We must become born again, as Jesus said. Most truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, truly, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must become converted. You must become converted. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 18:3. And humble ourselves. You want to know why it's so important? We must become like children to God. When we put our faith and trust in God and we are born again, we become children of God. And you know what's amazing about a child? A theologian said this one time, never felt what he said. This great theologian, R.C. Sproul, he made this statement. He said, when I was 3 years old, it never, ever, once occurred to me that my dad might be wrong. Remember that? If dad said, well, it was green cheese, it was green cheese. You know what I mean? Whatever he said, that's what it was. We need to become like that with God. When he speaks, you need to believe. Children believe. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Again, this is all throughout the scriptures. Turn to Matthew 14. Let's look at the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story. But notice what happens. Pick it up at verse 15. Matthew 14, verse 15. When it was evening, the disciples came and said to him, this place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. They brought money. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. See? They said to him, Jesus, all we have is 5 loaves of bread. Jesus said, bring them here to me. Again, what's great about a child is a child will just obey. But as people get older and smarter, they might say, Jesus, maybe you didn't. Let me run this by you. All we have is 5 loaves, 2 fish. There are 5,000 people here. This is why thinking people don't have a hard time thinking about God. You need to become like children.
Amen.
Thank God they did. They brought the five loaves and the two fish, and you know the rest of the story. He will feed 5,000 men, then my women and children, and they will pick up 12 baskets full later on. An act of obedience is required
before anyone sees the glory of God.
This is all over the Bible. I'm just going to give you a few. Write them down if you want. But as you read your Bible and allow the register, you're going to see every single day. Hopefully it will inspire you to listen a little more carefully and to believe and obey. Now some of you may say, Danny, wait a minute, hold on, whoa. God don't speak like that anymore. No. Let me give you an observation of what Sidney Baxter said. People say that God does not speak to men as he did long ago. The truest statement is, men do not listen today like they did long ago. Can I get it?
Amen.
That's the truth. And so, while we're in Matthew, notice just a couple verses over, Matthew 14:29. Remember, they're on the boat. Jesus is walking the water. They think it's a ghost. Verse 27, Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter said, Lord, if it was you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Peter didn't make an excuse. He got up. He walked the water. An act of obedience. Go to Matthew 17 and verse 17. When Jesus sent out the disciples, they did these miraculous things to deliver people from their demon spirits and all this, but there's one kid they could not help. And so the father came and saw Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I put up with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. They obeyed. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. The disciples came and said to Jesus privately, why do we not drive out? He said, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. Again, an act of obedience. Bring them here. They brought him. He did it. Not just there, but jump down to verse 24. It says, when they came to Capernaum, those who collected the two drachma tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the two drachma tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom did the kings of the earth collect the customs or hold tax? From their sons or from strangers? When Peter said, from strangers, Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea. Throw the boat. Take out the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shepherd. Take that and give it to them. So you and me. Again, I think in verse 1 said, say what? The parallel account in the end of the gospel say that's what he did, and that's exactly what happened. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. One more passage, John chapter 21. After Jesus died and rose again and revealed himself to them, he was on the shore and they were on the boat. And so, in John chapter 21, verse 3, Peter says to everybody, hey, I'm going fishing. I'm going back on the boat. And so they said to him, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nada. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them from the shore, children, you do not have any fish, do you? answered him no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat. Again, they don't know who this guy is. And he says, and you will find a catch. Again, I wasn't there, but I can imagine what some fisherman might have said to some guy on the shore. You got to put the net on the other side of the boat. Well, thank God they were big. And I think it was 153 fish jumped into the net. An act of obedience is required. You need to believe and act. When you do, you will see the glory of God. Again, Noah. Now let me just say, what God asks us to do is not hard. Again, bring the kid to me, give me the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, go throw a hook in the water. He doesn't, the things are not hard. With the exception of Noah, though, until the 120 years. All right, that was a big deal. But other than that, he's not asking us to do anything really hard. He told Moses, I want you to go let my people go. Moses says, I'm not going to do that. God, how's this Pharaoh going to obey? Who am I? He said, what's that mean? He says, just throw it on the ground. What if he said no? Well, he obeyed. He threw it on the ground and became snake. He said, take it easy. Just pick it up by the tail. Became static. And he said, now go talk to him. He'll see you. And an act of obedience again is required. Now, after Pharaoh disobeys him and, keeps lying to him and he does all these things and all that, well, finally he lets him go. They make their way across the desert. And here they are now in front of the Red Sea with mountains, desert, and Pharaoh and his boys in hot pursuit. And God says, stretch out your staff over the sea. What if Moses said, Lord, I think I need a little more help than that right now? He obeyed, and he went out. The sea parted, and they went across. An act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. Joshua is told to go into the promised land and you will conquer everybody and you're going up against a wall sitting named Jericho. But here's what I want you to do, Joshua, is I want you to just march around the first day. Thank God he wasn't a thinking man again. I was just obey. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just obey. He marched the first day. Every day, once the rabbit day, every day, and 7 days, 7 times, and then you know the rest of the story. They blew the trumpets, and just like God said, the walls came tumbling down. Gideon, going up against 100,000 people with only 32,000. God says, I think you got tonight. Again, I think a man would have said, excuse me? You sure about this? Tell everybody who's afraid of the Lord. 22,000 take off. He's got 10 left. He's got 10,000. Now he's outnumbered 10 to 1. God says, Gideon, we still have 20. Because if you don't beat him up, you're going to say, I did it, it's me, and you're going to get pride, you're going to fall. So here's what I want you to do. Go down to the lake. Let everybody take a drink. Whoever laughs like a dog, tell them to take a hike. Whoever drinks like a champion, just looks around. Keep that. He did. There were only 300. Now he's up to 100. And you know the rest of the story. An act of obedience
is required for anyone to see the glory of God.
Gideon, Elisha, tells them to go with the birds and feed you. They did. He tells the little old lady, hey, give me, feed me first and your flour and oil won't run out. That's all she had left. We're going to die. Just let us eat up. No, feed me first and then it won't run out. And it did. You got to obey and you will see the glory of God. What stops us from obeying? I'll tell you what it is. It's something God hates. It's not just sin. You see, the reason God gets so mad when people don't because he's a liar. You can't lie. It's like, why do you not believe me? I've never lied to you, but I can't lie. He's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. He's true. He cannot lie. So it's like, why do you not believe me? It's unbelief. And I'm going to show you. In fact, Luke 6:46, one verse I remember as a baby Christian when I was reading in jail. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? You call him Lord, but if he cannot obey him, he's not really Lord, is he? Here's the truth. Go to Matthew 13. In this chapter, there are seven, maybe eight parables. And I want you to look at the end of the chapter. Matthew 13:58. This is why people do not see the glory of God and why they don't obey. Watch. In the end of Matthew 13, I'm in Luke. Let's go to Matthew. That's why I wasn't there. The end of Matthew 13, Jesus is back in his hometown. And notice what it says in verse 57. And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Now watch. And he did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. I don't know. The God of the universe asks people to do things. They do things, the miracles happen. They don't, nothing happens. You're about to see something amazing. The God of the universe, the one who speaks, and it happens, says, I want you to believe. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. And when you obey, you see the glory of God. When you don't, you won't. Does everybody get this? It's all over the sacred pages of Scripture. Again, I could go on and on and keep you here forever, but I won't. Let me just ask the question. What stone is God asking? What is God asking you to do today? If you're in the Word, He still speaks to you. He still speaks today. Don't say He doesn't speak like He used to. Remember, no, we don't listen like we used to. God still speaks to His Word. We need to listen and obey. Some of the things He says is, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that others may see your good deeds. Glorify your Father in heaven. How are you doing? Are you letting your light shine? Are the good deeds coming out? The good deeds don't save us. I'm not here to preach good deeds to save you. But if you are saved, you do good deeds. Because you can. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power to do what is right. He says other things. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't remember that, just remember love and love. How you doing? An act of obedience is required
for everyone to see the glory of God.
How about sharing your gospel? Jesus said at the end of Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been granted unto me. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How are you doing? Are you listening like men of old? We need to make disciples. We need to lead people to Christ. We need to teach them what Jesus taught. Let me just say there are only 2 days that you cannot do anything on. That would be yesterday and tomorrow. An act of obedience is required
for anyone to see the glory of God.
Let me just end it now with Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and I'll end it just like Jesus did. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus summarizes the Sermon on the Mount by saying, therefore, let me sum it up here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts upon them, obeys them, does them, he will be like a wise man who built his house with a rock. So that when the rain descended, the winds blew and slammed against the house, floods arose, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them says he believes that he really does it by his actions. He will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sinking sand. So when the rains descended, the wind slammed against that house and the floods rose. It fell in, and great was its fall. An act of obedience is
required
before anyone see the glory of God.
See the glory of God. You know, there was a certain old recluse that lived deep in the mountains of Colorado. When he died, his distant relatives came from the city to collect his valuables. Upon arriving, all they saw was an old shack with an outhouse inside. Inside the shack, next to the rock fireplace, was an old cooking pot, some of his mining equipment. A cracked table with a three-legged chair stood guard by a tiny window. In a dark corner of the little room was a dilapidated pot with a threadbare bedroll on. They picked up some of the old relics and started to leave, and as they were driving away, an old friend of the recluse flattened down. "Do you mind if I help myself?" It was left in my friend's cabin. "Go right ahead," they replied, "but for all they thought, what else could be inside that shack?" The old friend entered the shack and walked directly over to the table. He reached under it and lifted one of the floorboards and proceeded to take out all the gold his friend had discovered over the last 53 years, enough to have built a palace. As the friend looked out of the little window and watched the cloud of dust disappear behind the brother's car, he said, "You should have gotten home better. You know, I'm convinced we need to get to know God better."
Amen.
We need to recognize his voice so that when he speaks, we not only hear, but we act. And then you will see the glory. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this time to be together. And Lord, help us, I pray, to remember that an act of obedience is required before anyone will see the glory of God. That we've got to believe, not just say we believe, but we've got to believe, and our actions show we believe. You still speak, Lord, through your word. Just need to open it. No Bible, no practice. Help us, Lord, to not only hear what you say, but again to believe and to act that we may see the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Sending your Son to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for all you are doing, giving us your Holy Spirit, the power to do what you ask.